we are able to enter into the realm of the fullness of your glory for our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. As we connect with in faith with you this morning, raise us to that pedestal, O Lord, where we'll have a good understanding of your provisions for our lives, O Lord. Father, we want to be lifted up to that level where we will be able to see the resources of heaven and to appreciate you for who you are, Lord Jesus. Let every feeble man or woman here be like David, and everyone who has been like David, let them become God before every Pharaoh in their lives, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, King of Glory. In Jesus' wonderful mighty name, I pray. I just want to quickly share with us a message titled, The Way of Faith. The Way of Faith. When I look at this message, it's in line with God, what God has been telling me in the last few days. And honestly, I did not even know what the Sunday school was going to be about until this morning. Because initially, the person I thought was going to take the Sunday school was not the person to take the Sunday school, you know. And when we looked at it, we saw the, you know, what it was all about. And then, eventually, initially, I was going to take it. And then, the person who was supposed to take it now came and took the Sunday school. And he said some things and shared some things that are completely in line with what I believe God has been laying in my heart. And I just marvel and I just thank God that His Spirit is the same. And I want to believe that God has a reason why this kind of message is coming across at this time. One time, you know, we talked about sanctification, we talked about living, you know, obedience to the word, we talked about, you know, we've talked about different aspects of our Christian lives. And I think God has been dealing with us in phases. And I want to share, you know, what Paul said. When he said that, look, there was a time he spoke, I think in Hebrews, he was talking about moving to another level, moving, you know, leaving elementary things and moving to another level. And I believe that God wants to position us and move us to another level as a people, as individuals. Because I believe that the God we serve has everything. Because the Bible says He has blessed us with spiritual blessings. Spiritual blessings. He has given everything to us to richly enjoy. And in Him, there is the completeness of everything that is needed for our lives, for our walk with Him, for where we are going, for who we are, and where we are going to be. So we are looking at the way of faith this morning. So please, just open with me to Galatians chapter 3, verse 23. I'll be reading a few versions of it. Galatians chapter 3, verse 23. Are we there? Can we say praise the Lord if we are there? Galatians 3:23. Can we say praise the Lord if we are there? Amen. Before the way of faith in Christ was available to us, we were placed under guard by the law. We were kept in protective custody, so to speak, until the way of faith was revealed. That is one version. See, until the way of faith was made available to us, we were placed under guard by the law. we were kept in protective custody, so to speak, until the way of faith was revealed. I'm going to read another version, which is the one I'm going to be using today. He said, before this faith came, we were held prisoners, locked up until faith should be revealed. I will take it again. Galatians 3, verse 23. He said, before this faith came, before the faith in Jesus Christ came, we were held prisoners, locked up until faith should be revealed. I'm sure many of us will be wondering that, look, I'm born again. Why is somebody sharing this with me this morning? I've already known the Lord. I know what faith in Him is. But I want to tell you that God wants to take you to another level this morning. I want to let you know that God intends to do something in your life this morning. God is making us to understand that when faith has not come into application in our lives, we were prisoners. And I want to tell you that when faith has not been revealed to you in an aspect of your life, you are a prisoner to that aspect of your life until the faith of Jesus is revealed in that area. In other words, until the empowerment that comes from faith in Jesus Christ comes to illuminate that area of your life, it is possible to be born again and yet not to be fulfilled in that particular area of your life until the light of God shines on that particular aspect of your life. In other words, with faith comes a setting free. With faith comes liberty. With faith comes freedom. With faith comes the ability to grow and to expand in the Lord in every area of our lives. That is why it is possible that a particular child of God, let me give an example in the Bible. There was a woman in the Bible who was bent over. She met Jesus. How many years has she been in that position? The woman that was loosed. I think she's been there for almost 38 years. She's been there many years. That was the lady that was bent over. That Jesus said, woman, thou art loosed. She's been in that position for several years. But when she came to Jesus, Jesus said, this daughter of Abraham, in other words, the promise of God, which was meant for the household of Abraham, was unto her like it was unto everyone else in Israel at that time. Yet she was suffering for several years. She's been suffering until the light of Jesus entered that aspect of her life. Let me tell you something. It is possible for that woman to have been going to the temple, doing all that was expected of her as a Jew. In other words, it's also possible for somebody who is born again to do all that is expected of that person. You know, you're serving the Lord, you pay your tithe, you sing praises to Him, you worship Him, you do what is expected of you. And yet, there will be pockets of areas that we are not fulfilling our potentials. There will be pockets of areas where the fullness of the glory of God is not yet shining forth. Until faith is revealed in that area of your life, you may continue to be. Look, it doesn't mean that you are not going to make heaven. It doesn't mean that you are less of a child of God. But in order to blossom, to be who God wants you to be in Him, we need to come to a realization of the kind of God that we serve. We need to come to a realization of what God is able to do in our lives. Not just coming to a realization of what He's able to do, but to actually live it. That is the only way that God and the word that we hear will indeed profit us. In other words, what I'm saying is that there can be areas of our life that are locked up until the faith in that area is revealed to us. God will open our eyes this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. Because what God is doing in your life and what God is doing in my life is not only for you and it's not only for me. What God is doing in your life and is what He's doing in my life is also for other people. It's also a way of God even bringing people to Himself. If we are not going to position ourselves in a way that will allow ourselves to blossom in Him, we have to look at the ramification or the implication of our actions in the sense that we may be impeding other people. It's not just that God is going to bless us. When He blesses us, what God is doing in our lives, preach to other people. Even before you open your mouth to preach to them, what God is doing in your life, preach to other people. You know what? It's not a substitute to us preaching to people. Because I know it's very easy to just say, oh yeah, look, I can sit back, let people just see what God is doing in my life, and I will preach to them, and they will come to the Lord. God gave us specific commission to go and preach the word. So we need to open our mouth and preach. But what I'm saying is that our lives can preach to people as well. You know, I've heard people say, oh yeah, if you are like Jesus, oh, people will just be following you. And I say, yes, is that true? That is not true. Because when Jesus was on earth, even the one who followed Him, Jesus had the insight. He said, you follow me, not because of the signs that you see, but because I'm going to feed you again. Jesus, who knew every motive, knew. And of course, when He left, that was why there were only 120 people left or waiting for Him, praying at the upper room. Let's open our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2. Just to let us know that when we allow God to have His way in our lives, it's not just for us alone, but it's also for people around us. It's a way of ministering to other people, even without saying a thing. He said, ye are our epistle written in our hearts. Look at the second part of it. Known and read of all men. In other words, when God decides to beautify your life, when the hand of God is upon you, you become the epistle of God that will be known and read of all men. Because what makes the difference in your life is the presence of God. What makes the difference in my life is the presence of God. I've told us, if it's a question of material things, there is nothing we get that people of other religion don't get. What makes the difference, what makes your position unique is the presence of God. You become an epistle of God. You become an advertisement. You become a preaching material. You become the spreader of the word of God. By, because people can read. People can see the glory of God in your life. They see the way you live. They hear the kind of things we say. They see the glory of God in our lives. They hear you making pronouncements and they see it come to pass. Why would they not want to get close to you? They will want to get close to you. They want to. Some of them, because of curiosity, they just want to find out what's making him tick. They just want to find out, not because, you know, just like many people follow Jesus Christ in amazement, wondering what manner of man is this? The one that speaks to the sea, and the sea will obey him. The one that, you know, the one that spoke to the wind, and the wind obeyed him. So what manner of man is this? Is the way of faith, is the door opener. When Moses was in the house of Pharaoh, he got to a point when he became dissatisfied with what was happening to the children of Israel. He attempted to rescue the children of Israel using his own understanding, using his strength, using his effort, using his knowledge, and included even violence. Why? Because the faith of God for that area of his life had not been revealed to him. He went into the wilderness for 40 years. He was schooled. He was trained. He was cooked. He was made. And God revealed himself to him. You know what somebody said? He said, even when Moses came back, and God said, put the blood of Passover on the lamb, on the lintel of the house, which they did. God saved them from death and destruction, but it did not necessarily translate to their freedom and liberty. Until there's a revelation of what God was going to do in their lives, and somebody was going to take that position to lead the people out, until somebody caught a glimpse, until God has demonstrated himself and revealed himself to one person in their midst, who was willing to pay and make a sacrifice, not minding the obstacles against him. The people were not completely free. Somebody will be free this morning. I say somebody will blossom this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. When we lean on our own understanding, our understanding has limitations. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, it says, we should trust in the Lord in all our ways, and that we should not lean on our own what? On our own understanding. Our understanding puts limitation on us. Moses was about 40 years old when he left Egypt. He then went into the wilderness. You know what? By the time God appeared to Moses, Moses was about 80 years old. There was no record that when Moses was in Egypt before he left, before he exiled himself, that he had his staff in his hand. Was there any record? No, they just said he slew the Egyptian. There was nothing said about him using his stick or anything. So by the time he got into the wilderness and was leading the flock, he was either using the staff in his hand to direct the flock, or at the age of 80 years, he was probably needing the staff to do something, to support himself. And as far as Moses was concerned, the staff or the stick in his hand was meant to direct, you know, the cattle, the sheep, and everything, or to support himself until there is a revelation from God. He did not realize the potential of what he was holding. And I want to let you know that so many a times as Christians, we don't realize the potential of who we are. We don't realize the potential of what God has committed into our hand, what God can do with it. Until we allow God to reveal himself to us in that particular area of our lives. Some of us will start things, we think, we look at it as something small. God commits something to our hand, we look at it as small. We work, you know, we earn money, we say, oh, maybe it's small. It's not much. If only God will open our eyes and we allow him to lead us in the way to go with what he has committed into our hands, we will realize the potential in it. And some of us are like Moses. We need that staff for support. We need that job for support. We need that money for survival. We need that thing. We need that fellow to be there for us for survival. We are afraid to cast it down and let it go. In order to be able to see the potential in it, God sometimes tells us to cast it down. We are so afraid. How am I going to survive? How am I going to make it? I'm telling you, until God opened your eyes to, you know, there may be a limitation on you. That which you think is the provision of God, that you think it's, you know, is big enough now, it's little compared to what God can do in your life. And I said, look, if not for yourself, if you are satisfied with the way you are right now, please, for the sake of other people, because the Bible said you are an epistle known and read by all men, allow yourself to be that message to that person. Allow the fullness of the grace of God. Allow the fullness of the blessings of God upon your life. If you are satisfied with the way you are, you can do, what do they call it? Declare your assets to yourself. In every way, every area of your life, declare your asset and say, Lord, I'm happy here. The remaining blessing, I want to turn it out to people. Just allow God to have his way, so that you can be a source of blessing to people. The other thing that I want us to be aware of is this. We can be locked up ourselves until faith comes in our lives. We can be locked up through suffering. What we can't are suffering. It's like we are being locked up, we are imprisoned. And you know what it tries to do? It prevents us from seeing beyond ourselves. And I've looked at the Bible, I've looked at the Bible, and I noticed something. That everyone that God has used, they rise above their personal situations to be able to be what God has called them to be. They rise above their own peculiar situation and circumstances. I found out that in every situation they find themselves in, it's usually a big enough excuse for them not to do what God has called them to do. But despite what is happening in their life, they will do what God has asked them to do. We were talking about, you know, Jesus last Sunday. And the bit that caught me was, you know, how the devil was tormenting him. You remember? When we watched The Passion of the Christ, that was Saturday. or Friday. How the devil was tormenting him, telling him it's not possible. Do you really think you have a father? Who? Do you think you can? The sin of the world is too big to bear. It's not possible. You can't do it. You can't make it. No. It's the same thing that we go through. So that when we find ourselves in situations that look impossible, God is there. He doesn't want us to look focused, because the devil will be suggesting to us that it is not possible, that with God. If it is not possible, God will not call us to do what he's asking us to do. If it is not within the realm of possibility for him, he will not invite you to that party. It is because he knows it is possible. He is the one that makes all things possible. I want us to open to Genesis chapter 41, verse 52. Genesis chapter 41, verse 52. You may be holding that job, and you feel the way they are treating you is so terrible. And that there is no way that if God had designed and purposed it for you, it should not be like this. Or you may be in that marriage, and it's hard work now. And you are imagining, if indeed God has spoken to me, why should it be like this? I want you to know, as we are told this morning, after you have searched, and make sure you are right with him, take time to sing praise to him. Take time to rejoice now. Because what we are going to read here may be your experience. Genesis chapter 41, verse 52. It says, and the name of the second called he Ephraim. He said, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. In the position of your affliction, God can cause you to be fruitful. In the place of your difficulty, God can cause you to be fruitful. Do you know what? Sometimes we put limitation on ourselves. We say, look, I'm not cut out for this. You see, I just like Moses, we give excuses. We say, look, you know, I can't speak well. That's why I don't even bother to preach the word to somebody. Oh, I'm not the business type. That's why I never think of investing. So I'm just happy collecting my salary. It's coming in. Oh, it's so good. Oh, look, I'm not a people's person. That's why I don't even bother to get myself involved with anyone. But what God is saying here is that your area of weakness, your area of affliction, can become your area of fruitfulness. I had a classmate. When we finished, when we did our final exams, not one, there are two of them. One of them was in the class before us. He actually failed surgery. He did it, he didn't pass, so he had to stay with us the next set to do that exam. Today he's a surgeon. He decided he was going to specialize in that area. I also had a classmate. He failed his obstetrics and gynecology. Today, he's a specialist in obstetrics and gynecology. That area of affliction, that point of suffering, can be your place of fruitfulness. There is nothing God cannot turn around for your good. Because the Bible says, for all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord, who are the called according to his purpose. Until the faith is revealed in that area, until you let loose your faith in that area, until you allow God to have his way in that area, you may never know the potential that you hold in that area. Sometimes, some of us think that the only way that thing can work for our good is how much connection we have. No. Connection is good. It's good to connect with people. I don't have any problem with that. It's good to have connections. But let me tell you something. There's a difference between man-made connection and God-made connections. I've always said it. When man makes you, when it suits man will bring you down. But when God makes you, nobody can bring you down. The best person to establish connection for you is who? Is God. Because when he establishes a connection, it cannot be broken until that connection fulfills the purpose for which God is setting it up. Let's open our book to Isaiah chapter 55, verse 5. Isaiah 55, verse 5. You know, people go to church for different reasons. That's why some people like big churches, particularly when they have business to do, because it's a nice place to promote business. It's a nice place to connect with people, to know, you know, to be well known. Hear what the Lord has to say here. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, a nation that knew not thee, shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he had glorified thee. Do we understand here? That the sum total of what we are going to be would depend upon the glory of God upon our lives. The favor you are going to get would depend upon the glory of God in your life. The breakthrough you are going to experience would depend upon the glory of God in your life. If we let God have his way. The height you are going to attain to will depend upon the glory of God in your life. You see, people that you don't know, people you have never met, people who don't know you, he said, they will come to you. He said, they will favor you. Because of who? Because of who? He said, because of thy God. Because of your God. Why? For he had glorified thee. When the glory of God rubs on a man, it changes his destiny for good. When the glory of God rubs on a man, it transforms him. When the glory of God rubs on a man, he will do things, ordinary things, and get extraordinary results. When the glory of God rubbed upon the apostles, they walked the streets, and people were lining up so that their shadow would just fall on them in order to be healed. So the reason you are going to prosper is because of the glory of God. As far as you are a child of God, you operate under the authority and the precepts of heaven. Other people outside may have other means of making it in life, but for you, The radiating glory of the Lord is a determining factor as to how far you are going to go and how far I'm going to go. But when we allow the glory of God to shine and to show forth in our lives, there is no limit, because we serve a God without a limitation. Because the Bible says of him that with him nothing shall be impossible. With him, nothing shall be impossible. And so what he will do in your life and in my life is because of his glory. And I want to let you know that as we hold on to him this morning, as we key into him, God is taking us to another realm in our walk with him, in our relationship with him. He's taking us into another realm that is all encompassing, that is going to involve every facet of our lives. As a child of God, God is not only interested in your salvation. That's the most important thing. No doubt, that's the most important thing. He's also interested in every area of your life, because you become an epistle. He knows that people associate you with him. And so what happens to you will tell of his glory. What happens to you will be a message to somebody. What happens to you and your life will lead somebody in one direction or the other. And so why would God not want to beautify your life? For his glory's sake. Remember, I've told us that the only reason why God will do things is because of his glory. That is what is important. The glory and the kingdom. That is what is important to God. In closing, can we just look at Isaiah chapter 64, verse 4. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither had the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he had prepared for him that waited for him. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, that which the Lord has prepared for those who will wait for him. That is the way of faith. That is the way of trust in the Lord. In every facet of our lives, God wants us to come to a revelation. God wants us to do it in faith so he can have his way. And I can tell you, what is meant to be your limitation will lead to your elevation in the mighty name of Jesus. Can we just rise up this morning? You may be in the house this morning, and the enemy has told you that something is a limitation in your life, or it is a recurring thing that tends to, it's meant to be a point of disadvantage for you. In that place of affliction, your fruitfulness will come. God will reveal himself to you in that area. You may be sick in your body. It's a place of affliction for you. God will reveal himself to you in that area. A lot of people come, and the reason they appreciate who God is or the way God revealed himself to them is because of the demonstration of his power in that area of that affliction in their lives. If you are in the house this morning, you are sick, or there is a limitation on you in a particular area of your life, the Lord wants to visit you this morning. Can you please just quickly come out so we can pray with you? The Lord wants to visit you this morning. You have thought it's impossible. You have thought that this is meant to work against you. You have thought that you cannot, this is a hindrance. But I'm telling you this morning that it becomes a place of your fruitfulness. Can you just come out so we can pray with you? Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. So please, can we quickly come out so we can pray with us? Let's come out. You are in the house this morning. You experience any particular limitation? The enemy has told you that there is a ceiling in that area of your life. You can't go beyond that point. We are going the way of faith this morning. It's the way of faith. There is no limitation. God will reveal himself to you in that particular area of your life. Please come out. In the next 1 minute, if nobody comes out, we'll just close.
Do not pass me by, O Savior, Savior, Lord Jesus, Savior.
Remember that the way of faith is the way of trust. Is the way of confidence in the Lord.
Do not pass me by, O Savior, Savior, Lord Jesus, Savior. Hear my humble cry. My humble cry, why on earth hast thou art calling? Do not pass me by.
Amen. Can you just put your right hand on your head and let us pray to the Lord this afternoon? I want us to speak to the Lord and say, Father, just take me in the path of faith. Take me in the path of faith. Everything that is meant to be a limitation, everything that is meant to work against me, becomes my place of fruitfulness. I want you to speak to the Lord. Everything that is meant to work against me becomes my place of fruitfulness. Everything that is meant to disqualify me becomes a point that will qualify me for what you have called me to do. Everything that is meant to sell me short becomes an advantage to me. Everything that is meant to be a hindrance becomes a point of advantage to me from today. Is the place of faith? Is the way of faith? Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Father, I thank you because even as you have sent me, so have I delivered the word this morning. I know that your word is quick, is powerful, is sharper than every two-edged sword. It's able to divide and to pierce every bone and every marrow, and even to go into the heart of man. Lord, every situation that's meant to be a point of disadvantage to your people, O Lord. As many as will step out in faith today, O Lord, it become a point of fruitfulness in their lives in the mighty name of Jesus. Let every point of affliction become a point of happiness in the mighty name of Jesus. Let every place of suffering become a place of blessing in the mighty name of Jesus. So that your people can come into the fullness of your glory for their lives. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Can we share the grace in fellowship? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Praise the Lord. I say praise the Lord. Amen.
Shall we sing the family song? We are hills, we are, yes, we are hills of the fire.